Our subject this morning is going to be on one of the Old Testament characters, Noah. And there is much more regarding the person of Noah in the Scripture than first meets but a casual reading of his adventures with the ark and a flood. This morning I want to delve in deeper into Noah and see what else we can learn about this hero of history. Noah did a great deal more than merely build a boat and fill it with animals and float around for 40 days and 40 nights while the fountains of the deep broke up and while it rained for the first time in his life. So turn in your Bibles to begin with to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we begin with verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, that being angels, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, that's the angels, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, not for himself did he, but for man. And he repented the Lord that he had made earth man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The first thing I asked this morning, was Noah perfect? Is that why God saved him? Was he sinless? He walked with God. That's a figure. It means he continually lived his life in accordance with God's thinking and commands. But was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless. But his pedigree was perfect. The word is tamimin. It's the same word that's used of the sacrificial lambs that they used in the temple to sacrifice. They had to be a perfect specimen, and that's the word that's used of Noah. It does not speak to his moral perfection, but to his pedigree. He was not contaminated by the fallen angels. His children were not offspring of the men of renown or of the giants or of the angels that came down and had children with men. The seed of the woman that was promised back in early Genesis was not corrupt in his family. They were undefiled, without spot or blemish, with regard to God's plan as it related to the promised seed that was to come through. So it wasn't contaminated. He wasn't sinless. No man is sinless. We all fall short. But he was just, it says. Meaning an ordinary person who is honest with other men and is obedient to the laws of God. That was Noah. Now, before we proceed, I need to go to a sidebar here. First, a review of Bible numerics. Most of you are aware of the underlying phenomena of numbers connected with Scripture, how that the Hebrew and the Greek language, the letters in the alphabet have a numerical value for each of their letters. For example, in Greek, put it up here, the word alpha, which is the first letter, in Greek, that is equal to the numerical value of 1. Beta, which is the next word in the alphabet, is equal to 2. The third letter in their alphabet is gamma, G-A, and it is equal to 3. And so it goes that way clear through the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet as well. So, every word then has a numerical value. Let's take the word Abba. Well, we know that A is equal to 1 plus B is equal to 2 plus another B, which is equal to 2, and plus A, which is another 1. So the word Abba has a value of 6 in Hebrew, as does every word. Abba is translated father and man. So the number 6 then becomes man. Let's look at another example. Jesus in Greek is I-E-S-O-U-S. I in the language is equal to 10, plus E is equal to 70. The S is equal to 200, I think. The O is equal to 400. I got to look at my notes. Got this wrong. E is equal to 8. S is 200. That's correct. O is 70. U is 400. And then S again is 200. So the total of all that is 888. That's the number of Christ. 888. Now you know what is 666. You hear all the, you know, the number of the beast of Revelation is 666. So that goes throughout all of Scripture. There's a lot to be learned from the numerics. In the number system, just for your notes, if you're taking notes, 1 in Scripture is equal to unity. 2 is equal to difference. 3 is equal to completeness. 4 is equal to creative works. 5 is equal to what? Anybody remember? Grace. For by grace, and grace that runs all through Scripture. 6, we just saw, is equal to man. 7 is equal to spiritual. perfection. Nine is equal to judgment. Ten is equal to an ordinal number, which is what? Ten Commandments. 11, disorder. And 12 equals government. You can't read that, but anyway, that's what it is. Oh, what was 8? Did I leave out 8? I'm sorry. I left out 8. You got to go to the piano for 8. You got to have somebody with perfect pitch. What letter is that, Erica? Only a person with perfect pitch would know that. If I would have played this, she would have said D. But I played A. What's the next letter going up the scale, Amelia? What's the next letter, Avery? C, D, E, F, G. What's the next letter? Is it H? There's no H in the scale. The next letter is the 8th from where we started at A. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. G is 7. The next one is another A. And that's the way the piano's laid out. Every 8th note is the new beginning. And the 8th number. And that's what 8 is in the scripture. It is a new beginning. Eight in the scripture denotes a new beginning or resurrection to newness of life. Now you say, what does that have to do with Noah? Well, turn over to 2 Peter, page 1866 in the Companion Bible. 2 Peter. And I did that because you're going to now remember two numbers for sure. You're always going to remember 666. And now you've got 8 down. Well, you won't forget 8. 8 is new beginning or resurrection. We'll turn to 2 Peter 2:5. For God spared not, beginning with verse 4, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Peter didn't accidentally list Noah as the 8th person. There was a reason that he did that. And we find that the number 8 is attached not only to Noah, but his sons also. If you look at Noah and the value of Noah and his two sons, Shem and Japheth, they in fact add up to 888, which is significant of Christ. Why? And the other verse that I couldn't find there, also Peter made reference to Noah being 8. Why did he do that? Because Noah represented a new beginning for the human race after the flood. And he was a foreshadowing of Christ, who was a new beginning for us. There's a lot of parallel, for example, between Adam, the first man, and Christ, the second Adam, only two perfect human beings in the course of history. Adam was perfect until he sinned. Christ being the other one, the second Adam, he was perfect. But in between, we have Noah representing a new beginning for man because he saved the human race. This is a foreshadowing of Christ saving us spiritually to eternal and new life. And the parables are sufficient to justify the teaching that Noah sets forth in himself a type of Christ who was yet to come. Here are some of the parallels that exist between the two, between Noah now and Adam. Both had in their background a flood that ruined the earth. The first one was between the first and the second verses of Genesis, and then the flood of Noah later in Genesis. Living creatures were brought forth from the water and are told to be fruitful and multiply. Each were given dominion over the fowl of the air and every beast of the earth. Every moving thing and green herb was for their food. There was a seventh day of rest for Adam, which has been the Sabbath, and the ark rested on the mountain on the seventh month and the 17th day, which was on a Sabbath. Adam and Noah both had three sons. Both had one son cursed and became fugitive and vagabonds, Cain and Ham. Both Adam and Noah had a garden or a vineyard. Nakedness and shame are linked together with both of them. Noah, after the flood, there was incest. This involved Ham and his own mother. The serpent Satan and the sons of God and angels brought about the curse as a result of their action towards Eve and the daughters of men. Same situations happening with both Adam and Noah. Both Adam and Noah lived a long time. They both lived over 930 years. These are just a few of the things that the two men had in common. Noah, as a result, being between the first and the second Adam, is reminiscent of the first and a foreshadowing of the second. He saved the human race physically, and he foreshadowed that second Adam who saved us spiritually to eternal life. Now, the name of Noah means something as well. Lamech, who was the father of Noah, was 182 years old when Noah was born. How'd you like to be 182 years old and have a child running around? He was 182 years old. Turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed because of sin." Lamech was obviously at 182 tired. He'd been working under the curse. And Noah would help. As a son, it would help with the chores. And the name Noah then comes from the Hebrew word nuach. Noah comes from nuach, N-U-A-C-H, meaning to be at rest. It is used in Scripture. Nuach is used in Scripture many places. When the ark rested, it was at nuach. When the Lord rested, it said he was at nuach. When the dove sent out by Noah found no rest, he found no nuach. When the Lord smelled a sweet savor, literally a savor of nuach, a savor of rest. Thus it will be seen that for God as well as man, there is a place of rest, and that rest is Christ, of whom Noah and the ark are prophetic. Noah and the ark saved the human race physically. Christ, when he went to the cross for the sins of man, spiritually saved us to eternal life. The work and the toil of Lamech brought nothing but fatigue and sorrow. And Lamech longed for rest, but he did not accept the vain substitutes offered by the world as a whole. So much of what is we see today in the way of art and music, there's not anything wrong with those things, but those were created by the line of Cain and by Nimrod. And what are all the art and the music and the cities and everything that came about as a result of the curse? They're a diversion to keep our minds off of the curse. What is the curse? The wages of sin is death. Nothing wrong with them in themselves, but if they take your mind away, if you become so infatuated with something that it takes your mind away from the things of the Lord, then it becomes merely a diversion to keep your mind off of the curse, which is death. But I'm thankful that we have in Him newness of life that's possible to those that believe. Lamech knew that rest was found where we abide in Him. That's where you have true, meaningful rest, hid in the shadow of the Almighty. The one represented by the eighth from Adam. That's where our rest comes from. Without that, life with all of its problems is turmoil. But Noah was a foreshadowing of the one who gives us not only eternal life, but rest in the Lord as we wait that glorious day when He appears once again. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We're thankful for the eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus and the rest that is promised there for us. We pray for each that's here that we may also not only continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him, that we can rest and abide in the shadow of the Almighty. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.